Who then shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or famine, or danger, or persecution, or the sword? But in all these things we overcome, because of him that hath loved us. Now these words are taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 8. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, my dear friends, is the first Sunday of Lent. It is thus the beginning of Lent and our fastings and our penances that we will do in order to worthily celebrate our Lord's glorious resurrection on Easter Sunday. But I would like to depart from today's epistle and gospel to speak to you about the love of Jesus Christ. And I want to do this so that during this holy season of Lent, you will consider more profoundly in your daily life just how much you are loved by our Lord. And you will strive to love him more, and even see him, as it were, in your daily life. I would like to begin, however, by telling you a true story that was published by a priest of the Mary Knoll Mission Society. The title that he gave to the story was "The Strength of Love." The story is about a father, a son, and a heroic love. The story took place many years ago in the state of Oregon. And what happened was this. The son was driving away from the family farm in a truck when suddenly it skidded off the road and overturned on the bank of a river. The boy was unconscious in the truck, which was now under over 2 feet of water. His father, as this priest writes, a 42-year-old man, 5'8" tall and weighing 165 pounds, saw the accident from the farmhouse. He rushed to the scene, and with tremendous effort, by himself, he pushed the 3,000-pound truck from its side on the riverbank and on to its wheels. He then pulled his unconscious son out of the truck and administered artificial respiration. By this time, the state police and paramedics had arrived. All agreed that the father's feat was indeed beyond human. How much this priest concludes that father loved his son, but how much more that son now loved his father. It is not difficult, my dear friends, for us to see in this Father a figure of Christ, and in this Son a figure of us. For as that Father, on account of his great love for his Son, ran down to the scene of the accident and moved that 3,000-pound truck to save his Son from death, so our Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity, true God of true God, as we call him in the Nicene Creed, on account of his incomprehensible and infinite love for us, ran down, as it were, from heaven and moved, as it were, the weight of sin, which was crushing us, and took it upon himself in order to save us from an eternal death of torment and pain. He did not then come down to our world to bring us the sword of divine justice, nor did he come because he wished to bring us the flames of divine wrath and the sentence of eternal damnation against us. No, our good Jesus came to pardon. He came to save. He came to restore peace between us and God the Father. He came to buy us back. He came to redeem. And to redeem us, he clothed himself with the garment of our sins, so that every sin that anyone ever committed, or God forbid, will commit, they became as if they were his sins. Think about this, my dear people. Think about this. All the sins of pride, all the blasphemies, all the idolatries, all the heresies and apostasies, all sins of anger, all sins of hatred, all impatience and disobedience, all the vile sins of impurity, immodesty, calumnies and detractions, murders and envies, all of these and more became as if they were his sins. And because of this, he freely, he readily, out of pure love for us, a love that extends to each and every individual person, he accepted the sentence of torture and death. The prophet Isaiah wrote of this love of Christ for us, and taking our sins upon himself, he said of our Lord, "He hath borne our infirmities and carried our sorrows." Jesus carried the guilt of all these sins his entire life. From the moment of his conception in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary till his last breath on the cross, he carried the guilt of our sins and paid the price. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he gave us a glimpse of just how heavy our sins weighed upon his Sacred Heart. Crushed by the weight of them, he fell flat to the ground as his sweat became blood. The Father, in the story titled The Strength of Love, bore the weight of a 3,000-pound truck in order to save his son. And as great as that was, and it was, but how infinitely greater was the strength of divine love in the Sacred Heart of Jesus, who bore the incomprehensible weight of our sins, our guilt, and our punishment. He thus sweat blood instead of us. He was condemned. He was mocked and spit upon instead of us. He was scourged so that all his flesh was cruelly torn off his body instead of us. He was crowned with thorns instead of us. He was fastened to the cross with nails through his hands and feet instead of us. In short, my dear people, he suffered the very torments of hell in his body and soul so that we would never have to. This is how much Jesus Christ, the Son of God, loves us. Do you know what is truly the greatest tragedy of our time? It's not this so-called pandemic. It's not the political strife that we see in our nation. That is nothing. It's not even the sins of unbelief and impurity that are everywhere in our world. Such terrible sins are among the evil effects of the greatest tragedy of our time. No, the greatest tragedy today, my dear friends, is this. Jesus Christ, the Savior, is not loved. That's the greatest tragedy. Jesus Christ is not loved. As Father Matteo Crawley, the holy priest who established the practice of enthroning the Sacred Heart in the home, once put it, Jesus, the King of Love, is not loved. That is the greatest tragedy of our time. He is not loved because he is not known. He is not loved because he has been rejected. I dare say that the world would sooner do without him than it would social media. But the question for us is this. How many among those who have the one true faith, who profess to believe in him, who profess to love him, and yet how often they treat him with coldness, how often they are unmindful of him, how often they are indifferent to him, how often those with the one true faith can act and behave as if they did not know him. May it never be that a Catholic with the one true faith should drive him out of their home by permitting sinful entertainment to air on the television or the radio or the computer, the phone or the internet. May it never be, my dear people, that they drive him out of their heart by committing willful and deliberate mortal sin. The King of Love, Jesus Christ, is not loved. But let us do all that we can to change that. Let us do all that we can to make a difference, because we can. Let us do our part to reverse this, the greatest tragedy of our time. Let us then, my dear friends, love him, and love him not in word only, but love him in deed. That is, keeping his commandments. For he himself said, if you love me, this was the test, If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Let us then love him indeed by striving to keep his commandments, by being faithful to our daily prayers. And prayers, my dear friends, that are not rushed, but are prayed with meaning and devotion. And as Father Mateo encouraged, let us love him by fostering the holy practice of seeing him in everything. Seeing Jesus in everything. See Jesus Christ, Father Mateo once said. See him not only in heaven and in the tabernacle, but find him, he said, in the everyday occurrences of your life. See him in the trials and joys which he in his wisdom sends you. See Jesus, he said, in your daily tasks, your work, your occupations. See him, he wrote, sharing your table, seated with you in your home, mindful that he hungers and thirsts for your heart, and he in return will give himself to you. See him at nighttime, when you are about to go to rest, he says. Let your very breath say to Christ, I love thee, Jesus, my love. And Father Mateo says, your eyes will sleep, but your heart will keep watch with Christ. See him, he concludes, in your crosses, your sorrows, your temptations. Do not lose, Father Mateo wrote, a single splinter of your daily cross by complaining. Never fail, he said, to unite your sufferings to those of Jesus. And when the storm and tempest of temptation is about to overwhelm you, and shipwreck seems imminent, go, he said, go to Jesus, speak to him, and trust his heart. There is no cross, my dear friends. There is no trial. There is no danger. There is no temptation. No persecution that we cannot overcome. And why? As St. Paul said in his epistle to the Romans, because of him that hath loved us. Jesus, the King of love, loves us. And with him and his love, nothing is impossible to us. How we ought to love him. How we ought to busy ourselves in loving him. And not busy ourselves with the things of the world, but busy ourselves first and foremost with loving Christ and having such a confidence in him. May we this Lent, this year, and throughout our daily lives be ever mindful of the love of Jesus Christ for us. May we truly strive to love him, trust him, and see him, as Father Mateo said, in the everyday occurrences of our daily lives. And if we persevere in striving to see him in everything, our lives will change. our lives will change. And we will have peace in our hearts and peace in our homes. May the Immaculate Heart of Mary, who is our life, our sweetness, and our hope, may she obtain for us this great grace of the love of Jesus Christ and the grace of final perseverance. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.